I know all of you have a fear of high places, and rightly you should. You have a fear of the hot seat, and rightly you should. But the theme of this weekend is Isaiah 40, so let me read it to you. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now that's pretty powerful.
How does this double tie into the other doubles we looked at? Does this mean like double extreme bad stuff?
No, this means
double, like folded together,
doubled. Now, each of you have a preconception of the hot seat, except Alan, and he's not here. But I want your preconception to be, your iniquity is pardoned. Now, the only time you won't be comfortable then in the hot seat is when you don't know that. You understand? The moment you don't know that your iniquity is pardoned, then in those moments you will be nervous because you will be exposed. Now, let's look at the rest of it. Remember Jesus called John the Baptist Elijah? That's the justification for the New Age movement's belief in that have a Christian basis to believe in reincarnation. Well, I too am Elijah. Whoever the preacher is, if he's not Elijah, he's not a preacher. He's only a trafficker in the Word of God. And Elijah's function is as follows. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked place shall be made straight, and the rough places plain or even. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Every time you are in a low place, a valley, you naturally run to the high place that has been erected by your own experience, including your own Sanhedrin, your own. You run there, you try to do everything in your power to climb that mountain. Hallelujah. So you run for protection to the high place. Every time you fail, God is the one that made you fail. God is the one that gave you the weirdness. God is the one that put you in the position of need. God is the one that made you sick. God is the one that did all those things so that you would keep running to the high place, running to the high place, running to the high place until finally there's no answers in the high place. Then you're fully tested. Then the high place, the mountain, the hill, has been made low. The valley is exalted. The crooked place, straight. Then you are walking in the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I've told you it 100,000 times that Jesus Christ never once even indicated that he would give you life. He is life. He never once indicated that he'd reveal to you the truth, for he is the truth. And he never once indicated that he would show you the way. He is the way. So hopefully by the end of this hot seat experience or high place weekend, each of you will at least have a glimpse of the certainty that your identity is never again dependent on what you do or don't do. Your identity has nothing to do with being or doing. Your identity has nothing to do with the activities that you're connected with. It has nothing to do with how well or how poorly you do something. It has nothing to do with how you look. Your worth isn't established in any of those bases. Your worth is established because you are the way. So your worth is based on being. Your office isn't doing something. Your office is being something. The high place's function, everything on that high place, is to cause you to do and to demand that you cannot just be. That's why it's called the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. Keep your finger in Isaiah. Go to James 1. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word. Right after Hebrews. Okay, I just told you that your life has nothing to do with doing. Now the first damn thing we read in James, he contradicts me. He says, be ye a doer of the word, and not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. Well, either I'm in big trouble now and you've caught me.
It's good news, it's a bad news.
Or this is saying something else. And it's got, you got to decide. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Doesn't matter what the hell you're doing, you're like a man beholding his face in a mirror. You understand? For he beholdeth himself and then goeth his way. And straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. You understand what that means? It means you have gained your identity from doing. That's a mind-blowing thing. I hope you understand it. For you... you're like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. got it? All right. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth or remaineth therein, don't do a damn thing. You just look. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So now, definition. A doer, seer. It doesn't matter what you're doing. That's why the foolishness of preaching is necessary. For what you hear is what you'll see. This sounds terribly mystical, I know, but it's life. It's the way the thing works. Okay, back to Isaiah 40. Okay. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Obviously you understand me that the mountain and hill is the high place. The valley is the place of depression or need.
Bama and Bima.
Bama and Bima. Now, do you know that, I mean, maybe you can tell me some other explanation. What do churches say this means? Do they ever talk about it?
The only thing I remember about that is that it's like, have your attention on it. Have your attention on God. But there was never, I never heard any real explanation of it. It was like, it was treated like it was poetry.
Okay. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, cry! And I said, what? What am I going to say? I can't tell you how important the scripture was to me when I was first a believer. Cry! Talk! What shall I say? Well, you say something like this. All flesh is as grass. And the godliness, or the righteousness thereof, is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Okay, that's poetry. I say, all flesh is as sperm cells running up the tube. One makes it, and they want to kill me. That's what I'm going to say. Great idea. Next time, that's just poetry.
That doesn't really mean that.
It's allegory.
Yeah, that's it. Allegory.
Now,
it's a metaphor.
The only thing that I have ever preached is that. But God loves the grass.
Right.
He
did until he was done with it.
What?
He said he did until he was done with it. Then he blew on it.
Grass is nice to step on.
Burns real good.
And then you get out the lawnmower and you cut it and you bag it.
And the cows eat it.
All flesh. I mean, you see, do you understand? If you saw that simple statement in its fullness of its meaning, your high place would be destroyed. Your high place, the power of it, is self-interest.
Yeah.
If you would confess with the Father that your flesh is as grass and the glory and the things you want to do and the things you're going to do to get, is as the flower of the grass that fadeth, you'd pull a plug in your high place. Oh, but now it's a godly high place. Jesus Christ is on my high place. Yeah, in the form of a molten image. Where is the abandonment? Where is the joy? You're still only performance, and so you know it's a lie. Well, this must mean something else. That doesn't sound very comfortable. I just got through saying that I'm supposed to speak comfortable to you.
Something's wrong.
Comfort ye, my people. Comfort ye. He said it twice. You got to pay attention when he says the same damn thing twice, right in a row. Comfort ye, comfort ye.
I say it.
Saith your God. Mm-hmm. I'm in big trouble. Then it says, speak ye comfortably.
But to who?
To Jerusalem. The grass withereth, verse 8, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The word of our God. It's not talking about this Bible. This is just words about the word of our God. The word of our God is the Logos, the Christ, the Messiah, the desired one, the desired of the nations, the promise. You know, some of you don't believe that. And then if you get in arguments about it, you can never remember where it is. So keep your finger in Isaiah again and go to Revelation 19. Did you ever notice? You understand? Do all of you got it? You have it? You got to have this one down. Babylon is the high place activity, right? It's religious.
Yeah.
It's always golden stuff. But okay. This high place has made all nations to drink. All people to drink of the wrath of her fornication. I mean, there's no one that has been exempt from it. All have drunk from that wine. So Revelation chapter 17 and Revelation chapter 18 are about the destruction of that Babylonian phenomenon, the whore of Babylon. Now, once that takes place, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain on the earth. Well, let's go. You got to read 17 and 18. Let's do it. You want to?
Sure.
Sure.
Revelation 17. Right?
We can go around the
moon. No, we can't.
Syllable by
syllable.
We're tired.
Okay.
We're here when we need. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come unto me. Saying unto me, come hither, and I will show. So, come, and I will show. Come and see. Come and see. That's all what Revelation is always and ever about. Come and look. Come on, come here, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Got a big ass. He said whore. I can say ass.
It's different, though, once it came here.
Harlot.
With whom the kings of the earth. Again, it's not just some King Charles, it's you. Because you have been the king of the earth, your earth. You got it? The kings of the earth have committed fornication. and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The wine of the fornication of the whore of Babylon is the same as the wine of Ephraim, which is always and ever the wine of self-seeking. You get drunk on that wine, and you, it's so intoxicating. Man, it's instantaneous. Some little fluff comes up to you and starts talking to you about how great you are, or some hunk, if you are that persuasion. Man, you've got it. You are drunk. Give me another drink. Give me another RC. Do you understand that intoxication? It's the wine of Ephraim, and it comes from all sources. I mean, there's no place where the wine of Ephraim is not being served. It's the wine of self-seeking. It's the drink offering of the whore on the high place. Everyone is guilty of it. And they can do it in anybody's name. It doesn't matter whether it's in Buddha's name or Muhammad's name or Jesus' name or Jehovah's name. All are doing it. All of the kings of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. You see the universality of it? If you don't, speak up. The whole world is in deception. Well, how come you're the only one that says this stuff? Every one of you has said that to me at one time or another. I don't know. I don't know. I don't, number one, I don't know if I'm the only one that says this. Number two, I don't know when the fuck I'm saying it. I don't know any other explanation other than some comic book, comedic thing that Hal Lindsey says for the book of Revelation. You either got to believe in dispensation or covenant. If you believe in covenant, you can believe nothing else but what I teach. Where'd you get it? I don't know. Where's the source book for this? Where'd you find out about high places?
By visiting a few.
The thing that always disturbs me is it just sounds right. I mean, when you talk, that's my only explanation. I mean, it's like everything else I've ever heard just doesn't sound right. Weird.
I mean, you've got to spend a little time thinking about this.
Lots of time, not just a little.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm spending time looking for licenses. Major
complication. This is kind of important. Makes everything else in your life chaff.
Yeah. The weird thing is that it was chaff all along. It's just that it's
wasn't
exposed as that.
Yeah, God's blowing on it now.
Yeah.
I can't say that. Never mind. I didn't say it, Harry.
We need a ruling on that.
I didn't say it.
But you thought it.
Thinking
it's the same thing, though. Remember that?
No, I never
remember.
Why
can't
you
say that? Yeah. You'd like that.
Do you really see this? That all of the kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the earth are drunk? They're not, Isaiah 28 talks about, they're so drunk, they're staggering, asleep drunk. I mean, they're drunk, big time drunk. If you don't see that, then you will always be carried to and fro with every wind and wave of doctrine and the sleight of men where they lie in wait to deceive. It's hard to be deceived by a drunk if you know he's drunk. There's nothing more disgusting. Drunk vomits all over himself. That's all the human race is doing. All right. So, verse 3. He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. He didn't run around. All it means is he carried you to a place where there are no options, so you could see. So there was no twilight. There was no gray. He's either black or white, light or dark. You all think you want revelation. You want to live in revelation. You don't really. Because when you see with no shadows, no grays, it's only black or white, you become insufferable. My prayer is that between now and this weekend, the Spirit of the Lord would take each one of you to the wilderness, that you can see this great horror. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, it's the same beast in Revelation 13. It's the same one in Daniel. It's the same one we're studying in the star chart. It's got seven heads, ten horns, and ten crowns on each one of the horns. I mean, we're approaching logarithmic horns and logarithmic crowns. That's the battlefield. Every one of those crowns has on its, horns has on it ten crowns. And each one of those ten crowns are the ten sorceries of the world. Because every one of them, full of the names of blasphemy, every one of them blasphemes by denying the finishedness of the work of Jesus Christ. Every one of them tells you there's something left to do. Why did he do it like this? The religion, the religious world teaches us that we are set apart for good stuff. God says we're set apart to be tested. That's what sanctified means. That's why we think it's not strange when the test comes. That's why we can glory in tribulation. That's why we joy in the trial of faith every once in a while. Find me another doctrine that takes into account, that satisfies every possible circumstance. I said in the radio, and I'll say it the rest of my life, if your preacher, rabbi, priest can't answer every question you have, fire him. If I can't, fire me. Get rid of me. If I can't, I have no business being in this position. Is that arrogant? Yeah, maybe. But tell me a question you have. If it can't be answered by the doctrine, I'll throw the whole damn thing out. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. She had a cup of cum. She's drinking cum. Spiritual cum. That's what's in the cup. You understand? It's the fruit of the fornication. That's her wine and yours. Full of full of the names of blasphemy. How many times have you denied today that it wasn't finished? Every time you did, you blasphemed. Blaspheme is one of those words that it just sounds like something you don't want to do. You know, nobody really knows what the fuck it means. I've heard sermons after sermons, I've read all these things. I got all these, how do you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? It's the unforgivable sin. Well, there's only one way to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, not to believe in Him who He has sent, because that's unforgivable. All other blasphemies are repentant. I blaspheme all over the place. That's all I do. But I don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit because I believe on Him. Blasphemy is like we're on the beach and you keep building sandcastles that you're going to live in. And then something comes along and they run away. Well, every time you've tried to build a castle, every time you've tried to build a place to stand, it's called blasphemy. Okay. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. He was greatly impressed. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? And I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, that's the beast that was and is not, and now is, is the same beast in Revelation 13 who was healed of a deadly head wound and was then risen again. It's the same beast that you are wandering after still. It's called Daryl, or Rick, or Linda, or Lee. It's a miracle. And isn't it fun to wander after them? It's called Huffy and Ed. Oli. And Jackie. And even Sweet September. No. And especially Rex.
Beast, we're still beast.
And especially Louie.
Oh, yeah.
Beast Louie. Oh, piece of deep shit. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains, or high places, on which the woman sitteth. And each one of those 7 are the seats of the 7 usurpers of the land of the promise. You ask why we... Oh, I did it last year. I don't have to do it this year. Can you see the relation? You understand? I mean, there happened to be 7 little hills in Rome. When you're in Rome, you can never see 7 hills. I always wondered, when I was in Rome, I could never really count those. Because they looked like there were fucking hills all over the place. But somehow Rome has now been the 7 hills. So Rome is the seat of the... You know, can you see anything more dumb than that? The Catholic Church is now the Antichrist, according to the fundamentalists. Because there's seven hills there and there are whores sitting on those seven hills.
I read that just today, the Vatican.
But think about it. It's the hills are the seven high places. Would you lean back yet? Or either side of us? I can't see when you do that. Do you understand? Do you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got another explanation. You thinking about it?
About the seven.
And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space.
What does that mean?
Hold on.
Okay, that's
all verse. What?
Say
what?
Seven, five are fallen, one is, and one is not yet revealed.
It's like 7 days. Is there a time?
The only one that is the one that you know. Five are fallen.
And one's Abraham.
Hmm?
Did Abraham defeat five kings or something? Mm-hmm.
Just five senses.
Oh.
Hmm.
Wow. What?
Thanks,
Abraham. Let's read on a little bit. We'll come back.
Yeah. Let's come back.
And the beast that was and is not, even he, is the eighth, and is of the seventh that goeth into perdition. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are people. And multitudes, and nations, and tongues. In other words, all the people of the earth.
Yeah, this is pretty clear.
And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Now, God has designed this system so that within you, the destruction of this whore. I mean, it's like he snuck up on us, just like he did with a scapegoat, just like he did with Haman and Mordecai, just like he did with the Zares, and just like he did with all twins. I mean, he's always doing this sneaky thing. He's using these confederates, alliances within you to defeat the whore. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't some manifestation of this. There has to be externally. What?
He's totally amazed.
Yeah.
There has to be a manifestation.
He's been in here all along.
that's what I'm saying.
There has to be a manifestation of this externally, because, and so that's what we see in governments and stuff. But that's not where our warfare is. There's a manifestation of this in nations and peoples, and there's pictures of it and stuff that goes on in kingdoms and wars. But that is only there because this drama is unfolding in all men's heads.
Yeah.
But the battlefield is never against flesh and blood. It's here. All right, watch. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the works of God should be fulfilled. That's exactly what's been going on with you. The kingdom, this kingdom, has been given over to the beast until his work was fulfilled, or, i.e., fully tested. You got it? And that woman which thou sawest in that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, now that's Babylon the great is fallen. Keep your finger there. I got to show you. You guys always forget. We got to go there again. 2 Timothy.
Where is that?
No, let's not do it. Let's do the one in Thessalonians.
Oh, I can't find Thessalonians.
Thessalonians chapter 2. It's just before Timothy. Just keep going back. Keep going back.
1 Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
What about Isaiah? Are we ever going back there?
No, thank
you. Yeah, we're going out. We'll be back.
Finger.
I want you to get a feel for this battle. I want you to get a feel for how fortunate we are. So that you can hear when I say to you, or when it says to you here, speak comfortably to my people. We don't have to play those games anymore. Those 10 guys have fallen. There's one here, and there's these thingies that are going on, but they're just for a time, for an hour.
It's like they have no power. They haven't been given their kingdom.
All right. Chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. The day of the Lord is what he's talking about. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's our function as a body, is to reveal the man of sin, the son of perdition. What we just read about here. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is you. Let who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what every member of the human race is doing, without exception. That's why they cannot see the mystery. Our function, the reason we were born, is to reveal the man of sin, the son of perdition. Can you believe what's going to happen to you when we start doing that? Except for the grace of God, we'd get sawn in half. Who cares? Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's what's happening. That's what preaching does, is destroy. No, read the rest of it. I won't go back to Revelation. But you see the tie-in between Revelation and 2 Thessalonians? This doesn't have anything to do with Israel. It has to do with in here. All right. Revelation. What? Is that your mouth or another part?
The upper or the lower part?
Harry's brung a leak.
The inner part.
Now, can you see now, and the angel is crying in verse 2, 18, chapter 18, verse 2. And he's crying with a mighty strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That's what will be revealed when the man of sin is revealed. It's as automatic as whap, whap. The seat of the whore
The seven mountains are seven high places. The seven usurpers. The place in the temple where that beast has exalted himself above all that is called God and judges for himself good and evil, so that he as God is sitting in that temple. Instead of living in that moment of obedience, that moment of dependency of a small child, that moment of wonder, he's got to protect his ass by thinking about tomorrow, by protecting, by protecting, by protecting. It's so simple. Let nothing confuse you from that simplicity. Let it be with that perfect clarity of the latter rain, the perfectly cast bell that you see that you be taken by the Spirit into the wilderness, so for once in your fucking lives you don't see any shadows. It's black or white. Verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. All nations. The word there is, doesn't mean nations as we think about nations now. It means people. All people have drunk of the wrath of the wine of her fornication. The wine is called self-seeking, the wine of Ephraim. And you love it. Now, start seeing it. It's too sweet. It'll make you throw up. Once your taste in wine have been exercised, when you first start drinking wine, you'll drink any garbage and call it good. But God has designed you so that the more you drink wine, the more your tastes are exercised, so that you finally come to a point where you can't stand anything but the good wine. You hate it when there's sugar in the wine. It's the same thing that happens in our fasting. When we fast, if you fast for 7 days, you couldn't stand to eat a donut. You couldn't stand to eat something that wasn't exactly what your body wanted. Well, our senses have been exercised. We can no longer hear any other voice. Hallelujah. We can no longer taste any other thing but that which is of the Lord. You don't know and you can't see because you're in it, the progress that we as a body have made. How we can now, how your senses have been exercised so that you can discern 10 billion times more than you've ever dreamed you could. But you don't see it because you continually say, oh, poor me, and murmur. Well, don't do that. You don't want to do that anymore. God's going to get pissed and blow on you. You know, either know it or you know, your sincerity is no longer valid. It's sweet as saccharin. God didn't want you to drink any more rosé.
Any more magic moments?
Yeah, that's good.
Ripple, peg, and peak.
For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. That's all you've done. You've been fucking the whore. I mean, that's you realize in the Greek that doesn't say fornication. In the Greek that says fucking.
Where?
Sporting.
Do you understand that? Huh? And what it says? When God said, when Paul said that, you know, I suffer the loss of all things and do count them as dung. He didn't say I do count them as dung. He said I do count them but shit. You understand that he said that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Expect that from
Paul. And all the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. There could not be any such a thing as a merchant, as a businessman, without this whore. Because her power gives merchants the ability to play on your lust and greed. Now, one of the things Christ does before Passover is he runs through the temple with a scourge in his hand and he destroys the sellers of doves and the money changers, the merchants in the temple. Well, that's what we do in the high place. When we go through this High Place weekend, we are taking a whip in our hand and revenging the disobedience of the money changers and the sellers of doves. You got it? All right. All the merchants of the earth are waxed rich. All the merchants of the earth. In other words, the word, we are inhabiting, I mean, you all know this, I think, but maybe you don't. I never know what you know and don't know, so. This land, before it was called the promise, was called Canaan. The word Canaan means merchant or trafficker. That's why it's called Canaan. Do you know why? Remember, it was Ham. Who are the sons of Noah? Ham, Japheth, and Shem. The promise went to Shem, right? But Noah was righteous because he had it in his rest. Ham came in, looked upon his father's nakedness, it says in here, and he became a slave for the rest of his life. He didn't just look upon his father's nakedness, he castrated him. He took the power out of the rest. That's why Canaan is cat. I mean, Ham are part of the curse. You know, maybe you do.
I know, but it sure sounds scary.
Yeah. I never knew that before.
Maybe I never said it before.
Maybe.
Huh?
Never heard you say it.
No. I remember that.
18:3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. I don't have to talk about the wine anymore, do I?
No.
You got that one down?
We know what that is. That's a cup full of chisel.
The kings of the earth have committed fornications with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, and I hope this is the voice you are hearing now, come out of her, my people, that you not be partakers of her sin, that you receive not of her plagues. There are 10 plagues that come upon Israel in the Exodus. There are 7 plagues in the book of Revelation. Of the 10 in the Exodus, 3 of them were partakers, the Israel and Egypt partook of them. Of 7, only Egypt partook of them. The rest, Israel, had come out and was safe. That's what we're doing. We're getting ready for Passover, for this final exodus from time. And we shall not be a partaker of those plagues, because those 7 plagues can only land on Egypt and not on us. And those 7 plagues. Now, that's another story. Okay. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now, there's a lot of things you don't want God to do. Remember, we've talked about, you don't want God to visit you. But you also don't want God to remember your iniquity.
Or say
woe.
Yeah, you don't want any woe stuff either.
Or say it twice.
Reward her even as she has rewarded you.
Yeah.
And double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Now, when we get to the last decan on the star map, there's a cup sitting on the serpent. What's this cup?
Wow.
So that's what something to look forward to.
What does fill to a double mean?
She gets bunches of it.
Mm. We wanted it.
So she gets whacked more?
Yeah.
So that she's in deeper trouble?
That the water's jealousy.
We're not going to talk about the cup tonight. How much she hath glorified herself. In other words, that's the role. That's the rule of those in bondage to the whore. There is only and always self-glorification. How much has she glorified herself and lived deliciously? Well, that means lived delicately, tiptoeing and stuff. so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and she'll see no sorrow. Well, that's the queen's chamber in the pyramid. Mm-hmm. To enter the king's chamber, you stand upright and walk. To enter the queen's chamber, you have to crawl. But they still think the queen's chamber, they want to get to the queen's chamber. We don't get the queen's chamber. We don't get the king's chamber. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. I wouldn't want to be in some of these people's position who have been trafficking on the tables of commercialism, selling the sons and daughters of God. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which are made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold, and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. Every shipmaster and all company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Hallelujah. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a giant millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman, of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now that was the predicate for what we're going to say. After those things, now again, those things have already happened. It's only up to you and I to see it's finished. And as we said in the first part of 18, when we begin to reveal the son of perdition, then the natural outcome of that will be to the cry will be Babylon is fallen. Then after these things, I heard great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto only the Lord our God. No more unto us who are living delicately. Delicately simply means protecting yourself. You understand? How you tiptoe through the rules and laws, and you know, when it benefits to you for you to do good, you do good. When it benefits you to do evil, you do evil.
Avoid argument.
As long as the kingdom of self is satisfied, Satan is happy. And that's called living delicately or deliciously. That's the word in the Greek. You got it? Now you don't want to do that anymore. You want to do that. For true and righteous are his judgments. What is the righteous judgment? It's finished. That's the only judgment. You can only, from this point forward, judge with righteous judgment. It's finished. That's the righteous judgment. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders, that's the 24 courses of priests around the throne in the temple. And the four beasts. The four beasts represent the time. So all time has been the four seasons. You remember? The four beasts fell down in worship. In other words, time itself has been redeemed. You don't have to play the time game anymore. Can you stand this a little bit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Do you realize how few people understand the book of Revelation?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I understand how it could be very confusing.
Because you can't understand it without understanding at least part of the star chart, because that's the references.
Yeah.
You can't understand any of it until you see it's finished. You can't read it unless you're reading right. You're reading it from the same perspective that the guy who wrote it wrote it. The perspective is it's finished. He's out of time. As long as you're reading in time, you'll have your private interpretation. Well, this is just Ollie's interpretation. Well, that's up for you to judge. Contend with me about it. Don't argue in your mind. That's chicken shit. Contend with me if you don't believe it. Let's push these things to the limit. All right. The four beasts fell down and worshiped God and that sat in the throne saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That means he's in charge of everything. There's no second cause. He is all cause. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. She makes herself ready by putting on what? The fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. And to her was granted that she should, And to her that was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The righteousness of the saints is the righteousness of him. That's what we celebrate every time we do the afkamen, the Lord's Supper. We take our eyes off us, put our eyes on him, and in that we, what? We eat and drink worthily because we see or discern his body. That's putting on the white linen. No more of us. No more the false wine. All right. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Bubbling forth whatever is there. No more protecting your ass. No more walking deliciously like the whore does. No more walking delicately through the rules and laws, but prophesying, because every word you speak, every thought you think is from the oracle of God. From the mercy seat, your only permanent seat, because you see everything else is the whore, and you rest in that position. Never, ever again to leave it. Amen?
Amen?
The testimony of Jesus is, I was bad, but now I'm good. I used to be a drunk. Hallelujah, but God made me a nice guy. Now, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, and I saw heaven opened. Some of you have seen a little glimpse of heaven open tonight. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Isaiah 40. All that was just to explain one thing. That the grass withereth and the flower fadeth. But the word of our God shall stand forever.
Yeah, I can either have
to.
All right. So now you know who the word of God is, right? Oh, Zion. Now again, Zion is a different kind of a mountain. Zion, according to the Psalms of Ascent, is made up of they that trust in God are as Mount Zion. So herein we are now the Mount Zion. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem. Now, in other words, let's get up there. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, his arm shall rule for him, behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, he shall gather the lambs with his arm, and shall carry them in his bosom, and shall greatly lead those that are with young. Jesus Christ is the only person in time and space now as the resurrected Christ who is allowed to have his work before him. You understand? He knows the end. So his work is before him. You, from now on, are only allowed to have your work follow you. You got it? All right. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Now he's going to compare this process and him. Remember, we're all talking about comfort. Verse 12. Who hath measured the waters? Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? I've told you 1,000 times, you don't want to be God's counselor. He'll get really pissed. God hates attorneys. And he absolutely hates it when you decide to remove yourself from the place of the abandonment of self and counsel him by mind talk. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him. God hates it when you try to teach him something. With whom took he counsel? And whom instructed him? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment? And taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are accounted as the small dust of the balance. The small dust is the dust that remains after the scales have been put away. It's not even the chaff. The nations are considered the dust of the balance after the balance has been done its function. And you're to confess with God. In other words, your attitude about life is supposed to be in line with or confessed with that of the Father. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for one burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? Now, we come to what we're about. The workman melted a graven image And the goldsmith spread it over with gold and cast silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. That's what all of you have done thus far in your life. That's what your internal mechanism has been about, the worshiping of those stupid idols. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Oh, shit. The word there is locusts. It's the fourth, the third stage. There are four stages in being a locust. And this is the word here, grasshopper, is the third stage of the locust. But now he's called you grass, and a grasshopper or a locust. I mean, he still hadn't caused you sperm cells. Alright. And stretched out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them. I'm not going to say it. He shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom will you liken me, saith, or whom will I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out the host by number, the stars? He calleth them all by names, and by the greatness of his might, for he hath power, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou now heard? But the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Comfort and wait are the themes of the High Place Weekend. If you didn't go through the shame thing, bring your list. If you did, just bring yourself. Okay? You have nothing to fear from me. You understand Revelation a little bit better? We've almost edited the whole book. You realize that?
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking that's amazing. It's good
stuff. I still have that one question.
Five. One is to be.
Yeah,
then there's
first,
another
yeah.
one.
Keep asking.
Yeah. I'm going to leave you hanging.
I can see it coming.
Twisted.
I'll tell you that. It's a lot of drama.
Maybe next time.
Take it, big guy.
Mars.
You know, it'd be fun.
What?
Just do, as soon as we, there's a couple other things we need to talk about, but pretty soon we can just sit down and do the book of Revelation.
Yay!
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah.